the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
0874 100 102 gives you the last word by text or by WhatsApp, and we now can deal with text messages in relation to the Richard Satchwell trial, which we couldn't while it was ongoing. We'll hear in a moment from Brenda Parr, but first, our Today FM court reporter Jamie O'Hara was in court every day. The jury, as we've heard, has found Richard Satchwell guilty. So tell us how it all played out today, please, Jamie.
Good afternoon, Matt. So yeah, Richard Satchwell, he was sat with his hand under his chin. He was rubbing his jaw with his thumb after the jury minder handed a note to the court clerk to say the jury had reached a verdict and there was silence in court. The clerk asked the foreman of the jury if they had reached a verdict on which they were all agreed. Foreman said yes, and the verdict of guilty of murder was read out, and Richard Satchwell did not give any reaction when the verdict was read out. He just sat there. The sound of crying then, Matt, could be heard at the back of the court as Mr Justice Paul McDermott, he thanked the jury and he set a sentencing date for the 4th of June, which is next Wednesday. Today was the 5th, it was the end of the 5th week and the 23rd day of the trial at the Central Criminal Court in Dublin. The jury heard from 56 prosecution witnesses and one defence witness over the duration of the trial, and the jury came to their unanimous decision at around 12:25 this afternoon, and that was after 9 hours and 28 minutes of deliberations. The family of Tina Satchwell, they will be able to deliver a victim impact statement on Wednesday before the mandatory sentence of life in prison is handed down to Richard Satchwell. Now, Tina's half-sister Lorraine Howard and her cousin Sarah Howard spoke to the media outside the court after the verdict, and we can hear what Sarah Howard had to say.
During this trial, Tina was portrayed in a way that is not true to who she was. Tina was our precious sister, cousin, auntie and daughter. Her presence in our life meant so much to us all. We as a family can never put into words the impact of her loss that has had on all of us. Tina was a kind, loving, gentle soul who loved her animals like they loved her, and that's the way we want her remembered. Today, as a family, we finally have justice for Tina. In this time, our family would like to ask for privacy to begin our healing. Thank you.
Just remind us, please, Jamie, a little bit of the background to the case.
Yeah, Matt, so briefly, Tina Satchwell was reported missing from her home in Youghal in County Cork on the 24th of March 2017 by her husband. The 46-year-old was born Tina Dingevin and was raised in Fermoy in North Cork by her grandmother. Now, a huge search operation was launched and hundreds of lines of inquiry were followed. They were followed up on over the 6.5 years before her body was eventually discovered dressed in a bathrobe and pyjamas wrapped in black plastic, face down in a clandestine grave, dug on under the stairs of her home in October 2023.
Tell us about Richard Satchwell's demeanour during the trial, something you weren't able to tell us in giving us the day-to-day evidence.
Yeah, that's right. He mainly kept his head down, Matt. He didn't look around the court much, certainly not looking much towards the main body of the court, we'll say, where the reporters were sitting and where the members of the public were. He sat in a box which is to the left-hand side of Court 6 on the first floor of the Criminal Courts of Justice. Just for anyone who doesn't know where it is, it's more or less directly across the river from Houston Station and beside the gates of Phoenix Park. And there's a little bench in front of where the accused sits, and he often put an elbow on that and would look down during the proceedings. I had initially thought actually that there was a screen he was looking at when videos were being played to the jury, but there wasn't. He was just looking down. He never spoke during the trial apart from entering the not guilty plea at the arraignment. He wasn't called to give evidence and generally sat quite still. He isn't a fidgeter, it seems. He was also, you know, always freshly shaved. He kept his hair extremely short, basically a buzz cut.
Yeah, and were there many people at the trial each day?
Yes, significant interest in the trial in terms of people being there every day, being in court every day. The media sits behind the barristers and there's benches for, you know, laptops and notes. And there was a large media presence in court every day since the 28th of April. And then behind us is where the public sat, and the court did get very full at times. People would come in, they would stand at the back. Sometimes what looked like secondary school students would be brought in for a small bit before being collected again, you know, like they were doing a tour of the court. There was a few people who from Dublin would come here most days, and while the evidence was being heard, And there was even some who would travel from Cork. They would get the 7 a.m. train, they told me, and then they would go home on the 5 p.m. train. But we will be returning to the Central Criminal Court in Dublin on Wednesday, Matt, for a sentencing hearing where the family of Tina Satchwell, they'll also be able to deliver a victim impact statement before the mandatory sentence of life will be handed down to Richard Satchwell.
Jamie O'Hara, Today FM Court Reporter, thank you for all your coverage over the last number of weeks, and we will talk to you on Wednesday. But we've also invited Brenda Power, columnist for the Irish Daily Mail and the Sunday Times, and also a barrister, to join us for a little bit of background to this. Brenda, 9 hours and 28 minutes of deliberations. Given the weight of the evidence that we heard from the 56 prosecution witnesses and one defence witness, were you surprised in any way that it took them that long?
I mean, like most people looking on, Matt, I suppose, over the last few days, you were wondering on one hand, what can they possibly be discussing? But on the other hand, I suppose you have to say that it is a tribute to the robustness of our criminal justice system that, you know, you got 12 ordinary citizens who were prepared to give this absolute insulting rammish the time of day, never mind spend a few days mulling over it and going over every possible computation they could put on the evidence in order to do this man justice. But they feared that he might have somehow persuaded them that there was a self-defense element and that it was just manslaughter. I think everybody has shared that over the last few days because, you know, it's easy, I suppose, when you're looking on from the outside to say, what could they possibly be discussing? But I know myself, having covered the courts many times and been down there in another capacity, that, you know, you see jurors come in on the first day and the case is outlined to them and they look at each other and they're rolling their eyes going, how is he going to defend this? By the time you've a very good defence counsel, by the time the judge has finished giving them a direction on what the words reasonable doubt means, beyond reasonable doubt, they really are sort of in the moment and they can put all their preconceptions aside. And I guess that is a tribute to our justice system. Not that it makes it any the less infuriating that we had to listen to this guy traduce and abuse the woman that he murdered and buried under the dog shit littered floor of his filthy house for the last however many weeks. That, I mean, any normal person would have to say that was just beyond tolerance. And the fact that he has now been convicted of murder is the only possible verdict, I would have said, that they could have reached.
It's not only the last 5 weeks we've had to listen to his nonsense. He was loving it, lapping it up, wasn't he? The media attention, coming out to say, my wife is missing, where is she? Will you please help me find her and all the rest of it? Whereas in all that time, he knew what he'd done to her.
He knew what he'd done. And you know what, Matt? We still don't know what he did to her because there was glass found embedded where the poor woman's scalp used to be. So what he did to her before he killed her, we have no idea. But I mean, the preposterousness of the defence that he put up. She came at me with a chisel. And so I picked up, you know, an obviously lethal weapon, Matt, the belt of her dressing gown. And I held her off with that, and somehow or other her neck got caught up in it and she fell. I mean, we don't even know that he strangled her with it because her hyoid bone apparently would have been broken if he had. There is no knowing what he did to that woman before she died. And I mean, even at that late stage when her body had been found, he had the opportunity to say, okay, this is what happened. This is what happened. And plead guilty. But he didn't. He put us through. And, you know, in fairness, not that it is the main consideration, but the taxpayer has funded this rammish, this absolute claptrap, this insultingly ridiculous yarn that he has spun at your and my expense over the last number of weeks.
And her family, Tina's family, we heard Sarah Howard earlier saying that this woman has been traduced. She has been portrayed in a way that suited his defence narrative, but probably had nothing to do with the actual reality of the situation.
Nothing to do. And I mean, I suppose, you know, one point I could make out of this, does this necessarily open a debate on minimum tariffs in murder cases where somebody has shamelessly and dishonestly, as you say, traduced, abused, further compounded the horror that they have visited on this person by poisoning their memory in those memories to strangers as well as to their family. Is there an argument now for something like the British have, which is a recommendation of a minimum tariff, like a whole life tariff?
Yeah, because, Brenda, you better explain this to us, because I think a lot of people still work on the basis that a life sentence is a life sentence, but it's not for the rest of your natural life, is it?
Not at all. I mean, you hear people getting 3 or 4 life sentences, so it can't be. No, and I mean, this will be backdated, I assume, whenever he is sentenced to the mandatory life sentence. But at the moment, as far as I can remember, they did increase it. I think now he can apply for parole after 12 years. And I mean, there's, you know, the point is, Matt, in 12 years' time, who's going to remember poor Tina Satchwell? Who's going to remember what he did to her? Who's going to remember her shabby grave under the floor and the state her body was found in? He could walk in 12 years' time. So I would say that we should really be discussing whether or not now, I mean, I don't know, I think very, very few cases would probably merit a whole life tariff. But at the same time, in the UK, the judges can say, well, a minimum of 20 years, a minimum of 25 years. Should that be the case here? I would say cases like this, where somebody has cynically and shamelessly abused the license that is given to them to defend themselves, the constitutional right they have to defend themselves, which we all agree with, by the way, and we all support, but has so abused it, as this man did, should the judge, which he can't do at present, be free to say, and he should not see the light of day for another 25 years.
Very briefly, Brenda, there's one other point, and we have to be very careful here for legal reasons, as you'll understand, but how fortunate is it that we had effectively the Gardaí having a sort of second go at the investigation, that we had a Garda who took over in 2021 who really put more effort and resources into investigating this case, because I think a lot of people are a bit flabbergasted as to how the initial search of the house back in 2017 found nothing, even when there was fresh paintwork there.
I know. I'm a female Garda and I think a female forensic pathologist who said, hang on, these victims are most likely buried very close to where they were murdered. I don't know, Matt. I mean, I would suggest that the Gardaí have questions to answer. And I know that the Garda who was testifying, that the lead officer said, this has nothing to do with me, I was not there. But I mean, they got a search warrant. So they had a warrant to search the place. They saw apparently fresh cement, bad paintwork, bad brickwork, and yet they didn't conduct an invasive search or, as far as I can tell, bring a cadaver dog at that stage. That's inexplicable. I'm sorry, it is.
And I think that's a question that is going to have to be answered. Brenda Parr, I know you'll be writing about this in the Irish edition of the Sunday Times this weekend. Columnist also with the Irish Daily Mail. Thank you for being with us.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.